So I, Graves to Gardens, there's a verse in there somewhere along the line that says something about being rebuilt. I kind of have to wonder how many times God's going to have to rebuild me. So I wanted to do a Father's Day message, especially after Pastor JR said that on Memorial Day we'll always do a Memorial Day message, and on Labor Day we'll always do that, and on Father's Day we'll always do a Father's Day message, but I just didn't have one. One wasn't given to me. So if we could bring up Revelations 12:11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So our testimonies are obviously hugely important here. So I'm going to start with a little bit of a testimony, and I hope it goes better than most testimonies that I've heard and seen, because it just seems like there's so much to our testimony that we drop so much while we're trying to give it. So when I first started believing and first started coming back to Christ, what God did in our lives was absolutely amazing. The sin that was immediately broken off, the swearing and the anger, I had some really, really big anger problems back in the day. The changing of our hearts and minds from hopelessness to hope and from powerless to powerful. I can't thank my wife, Sarah Lynn, enough for finally getting me to go to church and seeing that there were real people in church. There were people just like me. There were people just like you. There were, you know, just regular people going to church. They weren't all just, you know, pew sitters or whatever. I was probably the thing that most amazed me was how the obeying of his basic commands really showed how powerful his truths are and how his truths always remain. And probably the thing that showed me that the most is it was tithing, honestly. You know, it's promised to us that if we tithe joyously and that it's given back to us, and it's given back to us in greater measure. And I mean, I'm not going to go into the specifics of a lot of the things, but man, financially we were bumming. You know, the house had a lot of things that needed to be done, and honestly, I couldn't see how I could afford to give God 10% and still even eat, still do the things that we were doing. But I got to tell you, we started doing it, and that's when I realized that honestly, God was listening, God was watching. And everything that he told us he would do for the things that we did came true. That's not to say that I don't still struggle with sin, that's for sure. I mean, all of us struggle with sin, and I think that's just part of our sin nature. But it's the self-control and the Word of God that tells us, you know, when we're being led into those temptations and when we should try to back away. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, which was the pastor that we were under when I first started following Christ, he made this kind of a very important verse to us. And it's, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. We were obedient and serving the Lord at that point because we understood this verse. It was explained to us, and we weren't obedient to the Lord because we had to be. We were obedient to God because of our love for him. It wasn't like a list of commandments anymore. It wasn't, you have to do this, you have to do that. It was, man, I want to do this and I want to do that. as the end of the verse, you know, it's grace that saves us. It's a gift. He wants to give it to us. It's nothing that we can do to get it other than just accept it. But it's also pretty apparent in this verse, as we go down through it, that he has works planned in advance for us. And it's not that we have to do these works by any means, but he's got them all planned out. He's already gone before us. And it's obvious from this verse that the works are an integral part of God's plans for us. The more of these works that I was doing, the more I was amazed at the things that were happening in my life. It's really easy to rest in our salvation, but where's the excitement in that? How will growth occur? How will faith grow if we slumber till Christ's glorious return? I can tell you this, God has never put me on a task or asked me to complete a work that he's not already cleared the way for, equipped me for, or sent the Holy Spirit. There's tasks that I've been given. There's been words that I've been given that I didn't do. I'm sure all of us are guilty of that. But the ones that I was obedient to, man, what a rush. One of the earliest Bible studies that I did was in the book of James. James says, consider it all joy, pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. So probably the biggest trial that I faced right off the bat was 1 or 2 years into this. I had a pretty good car accident. I lost the best job I've ever had up to that point. But you know, because I was in a great place with God, and I was with him daily, and I was praying daily, my wife was by my side, and we were working more as a team then, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't concerned. I wasn't worried. It's not that I didn't wonder what was going to happen next or anything, but he tells us to take great joy in it. So at that time, my mindset, I was excited. I mean, this all this stuff happened, and I was pretty excited. I was very excited to see what God was going to do through this. I was excited to see what God was doing in my life and where it would lead. I wasn't fearful or anxious. I wasn't nonchalant about the challenge ahead, as I know I had to have be an active participant, not just do nothing and say, God's got this. It was more of a God is with me, nothing can stand against me experience. We're going to be out of here really early. Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. It wasn't long before I was becoming a warrior for Christ. My giftings were clear. God would put me on tasks and works that when I was obedient to them, I was always supernaturally amazed at their outcomes. But I shouldn't have been. The ones that grew on me the most were the ones that grew me the most were the ones that I was most uncomfortable with, the ones that I found no experience with or the chance to prepare for. For the sake of time, like I said earlier, I'm not going to go into each specific one because there were quite a few. The times that I'll go into a few of them. There was early on, I was at a service. It was an evening service, and it was shortly after the accident. God's like, hey, go pray for that guy over there. There was, I don't know, probably 100, 200 people in the room or so, and I knew exactly who he was talking about. I'm like, man, really? You know? So I was obedient that time, and I went, and I'm like, you know, I told him, I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to pray for you for, but I'm pretty certain I'm supposed to pray for you. And he says, you know, I was in a really bad accident and my neck hurts. And I don't think my neck will ever be the same. And I'm like, really? It was just that much of an affirmation that, yeah, I had the experience that he needed to hear as well. And like I say, God will never send you out, even as unprepared as you think you are, without having already set the playing field right. So let's fast forward 10 years. Yeah, God still uses me. But I had and have really become comfortable. I busied myself at working for the church instead of as the church. The daily grind was wearing me down. You know, and I don't know how many of you use a grinder or watch a grinder, but man, it doesn't take long for a grinder with a coarse stone to really wear some steel down, even some titanium. I mean, it just takes it down. I was still praying, but I wasn't in the Word enough. Probably the only time I really got in the Word was when I had to do work at the church, when I would have to speak in front of people or men's breakfast or something along those lines. I wasn't getting personal growth from it. I wasn't looking for God's change in my life through the Word. I was just doing it as a job. It wasn't long before I could see and feel the old man rising up in me again. And this is recent speaking. The anger, the swearing. You know, you don't even think about it, and out comes the swear word at work again. You're like, man, that hasn't happened in a long time. And then you see it happening more and more. And, you know, when I first started loving Jesus, and he was with me in the car all the time, and I didn't really care how long it took me to get to work anymore. I didn't care that the guy ahead of me was blocking the fast lane at 60 miles an hour on the rush hour commute. And it was starting to bug me again. Starting to make me pretty mad again. So I, like many of us, find myself asking God what his plan was for my life, what I should do about this problem or that problem, what direction to go, which are all good and acceptable petitions to bring to God. Problem is, I was just waiting. I was waiting for the answers, the signs, the directions, and that's not what God expects of me. The truth is, he's given us the power of the blood and the Holy Spirit to do it. It's right here. It's in his word. We all have the same commission. We all have the same gospel to share. And we're all instructed to live as foreigners and aliens in this world. So while we're waiting and praying for answers to specific problems and petition, let's get busy with what God's already given to us and tasked us with. Let's try to remember the fire that we had when we first found Jesus and when Jesus first came into our hearts, when he started bringing husband and wives together as teams instead of just two individuals in a household trying to make things work and trying to hold things together. We all have those works in advance prepared for us. If you're a believer and in a relationship with Jesus, receive the power of the Holy Spirit that he sent to us. Fear not. Take joy in the journey. And if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, I invite you to do that today. You know, this message is most certainly for me. These last 3 weeks that Pastor JR has asked me to do this, and man, you know, I really wasn't in a place. I really didn't know if I should. I haven't been walking the walk very well, but Christ can redeem that. God will redeem that, and I don't think that God would allow me to be up here if he didn't want me to be up here right now. As a believer, I'm certain that God doesn't punish us for our failures, for our fears, for our inequities. But I am certain that when we let the enemy start prowling around and get in a stronghold, that the quality of our lives, our health, and thoughts suffer and deteriorate. My hope is that it will be an encouragement to all that hear it to remember your testimony. Remember those stacked rocks that were left behind. When the Israelites were walking through the desert, they would stack rocks every time God did something great in their lives. And then when they came across them again, they would remember that. It's so easy to forget the things that God's done in our lives, especially after 15 years or so of walking with them. And again, the daily grind just kind of grinding everything away on you. But try to remember those rocks. Make a list of them. Put them in your Bible. Take a look at that often. Remember your excitement when you first loved the Lord. I hope that the young people and the new believers will find some wisdom in an older believer's words and stack some rocks, so that when they come across them in the future, they'll find joy in the struggles they're facing and be sure to include God in them. It's becoming even harder every day. I'm going off script. It's becoming harder every day to be a Christian. It's the world around us is angry. The world around us is scared. The world around us is anxious. It should be so much easier for us now to be those strangers and aliens that God tells us to be. We should stand out. But, you know, I'm blending in. And I hope these last couple of weeks, and I got to tell you, last week's message from JR beat me up pretty good. It really did. And I would just urge you to be different, not because we're supposed to be, but because of our love for God. It kind of amazes me sometimes, and again, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I hear so many Christians and people that know God praying for peace and prosperity and I don't know, so many things. But you know, and sometimes it's even, man, where are you, God? What are you doing here, God? Are you even in this, God? And you know, honestly, he promises that things are going to get pretty grim in the end. You know, and I'm not here to bring everybody down, honestly, but I'm here to excite you, actually, that, man, we should be excited about this. We are tasked at being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We're tasked at being that light on the hill. And honestly, I like an easy job. I really do. And in this day and age, with so much darkness, man, it's got to be pretty easy to be that light on the hill. A light in the hill in a world of light, pretty hard to see, but in a world of darkness, it's got to be really easy to see. So I'm excited. My tone of voice might not show it. I'm in a great place of great thought with my life and what God's done for me in the past, what I've done for God in the past, and I gotta thank the Lord for putting me back on task these last 2 weeks, and I want everybody here in this room to hold me accountable for that. I would hope that you would push me shove me that direction and remind me of this sermon when you see me sitting around with my frown on my face. Do everything because you love the Lord. Everything. The job that you hate. The customers that give you a hard time. The situations you have no control over. Look forward to them. Be excited about them. Just because you can show everybody else around you how great your God is. And how he's going to help your attitude, be with you all the time, and that you're not just a Sunday Christian, you're a Christian every day. And that your love for everybody that's angry around you is bigger than their anger trying to bring you down. We are going to get out of here early. I got to tell you, it's been, I think we've been coming here about a year. And the praise and worship team, the praise and worship in this room is amazing to me. I mean, you can hear so many voices. We traveled to a lot of churches, and I don't think we ever went to a bad church, honestly. But man, you couldn't hear the excitement and the love of the congregation in a lot of them during worship and praise. So that really lifts me up. I just want to say that it's been a great year here. It was good for me to just sit in a pew for a little while, I think, and have God's word beat into me by Pastor JR some weeks and be lifted up some weeks by Pastor JR's words. But I appreciate all of you. And I do want you to hold me accountable to this work. We'll close out in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for being such a great father. We thank you for our fathers, whether we thought they were good fathers or not, Lord, because you put them in our lives for one reason or another. We lift up JR and Nora as they're in Juneau, we're pretty certain. And we just pray that they would be a blessing to that congregation and that praise and worship would be a blessing to them, Lord. We ask you to go before us this week and try to remind us of the people you expect us to be, especially in a falling world. In Jesus' name, amen.